If not, you ain't got no room back here, T. Man, I'll be backing into that thing. No, I ain't going that way. Y'all kind of got me hemmed in then, I guess. Yeah. Nope. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the vista we got back there. Good to have you with us this morning, brother. Appreciate that. David asked me, I don't know, sometime this week, if I'd fill in for him today. I can't take his place and don't intend to, but he asked me if I would teach, sort of on the same level like he's been teaching on the same subject, the warfare. And so I told him I'd pray about it. So that's what I did. I prayed about it. And so the Lord led me in the same direction. So some of the things that I'm going to cover a little quicker because he'd gone over them before, but I'm kind of bring us up to where we need to be today. So if you would, open your Bibles up to Ephesians chapter 6. I don't want to be repetitive in what he's gone over, but some of it's going to be similar, a little bit of a different situation. We're going to look at something today as time allows. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, you could take that verse right there and stay on that thing for 6 months. I mean, that's a load right there. We were our foes. So like David said, we've got a lot of enemies in our lives as Christians. 6, verse number 12. What did I say? Oh. Okay. Okay, verse 6, chapter 6. Got excited. Verse 11, and that says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I want you to notice what he said. The whole armor of God. You can't fight a war without having the whole armor on. So, and then verse 13. Wherefore take you the whole armor of God, there it is again, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I want to look at that today, the sword of spirit. The sword, this thing right here. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You know what that is? That's a 66 automatic. It just keeps on firing. You don't have to reload it. And that book right there gets the job done. But son, you know, we as God's people, we need to get in this book and stay in this book. That's how we fight the devil through this book. And we fight it with prayers and supplications and other things. And we won't look today at the Word of God. And as David, get rid of that thing. And as David said, we are in a war. You know, we run about and go about our daily lives and, you know, we get in ruts and don't pay no attention to it. But son, every day we get up out of the bed, we're in a war. We're in a fight. And we're fighting somebody we don't even see, and that's the devil. We've got three main enemies in our lives, and he's covered these, and I'm not going to elaborate on them, but I'll hit them quickly. We've got the world, the flesh, and the devil that we battle. And every one of these hate us, and we ought to hate them. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Go to James chapter 4. Here, we're going to hit on these things and get into some little bit of different things as time allows. James chapter 4. First of all, let's look at the first enemy we have is the world. Look at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This world is our enemy. as the world system itself. Now, I'm not talking about the world as an enemy. It's the world system, and this world's our enemy. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We need to understand, like David said, we need to understand what our war is about. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but this world is something else. It's full of lust. Everywhere you turn in this world, everything you look at, everything you turn on the TV, all it is filth, all it is garbage, all it is stuff that's going on in the world that's discouraging and depressing. And if that's all we had to go by is this world, we'd done committed suicide. I mean, you think about it. And that glass commode that we've gotten sitting in our room, now I'm not getting on that, but in our houses, if you look and see what's coming on from the rest of this year just about, all it is sex and violence. That's all's on there. So that's part of the world. And you go out, go in a store, and what do you look at? Grocery store, no matter where you go, it's nudity book. And everywhere you go in this world, it's the same thing. I don't want to get too attached to this world myself. Praise God, I'm going home one day. I'm telling you, this world is an enemy to the child of God. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to move on. There's a lot of God's people that have molded right into this world. And you know as well as I do, a lot of God's people, that, and I'm not saying they're saved or not. I don't know their hearts. But you cannot tell them different from a lost man. Amen. Why? They've got settled into this world. They've got into this world now, and it's just part of their life. But I'm going to tell you something, son. The world's an enemy to God's children. And all you got in it, so it's an enemy. Look at John chapter 2 and verse 15. John chapter 2 and verse 15. John chapter 2 and verse 15. Let me make sure I got it right here. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse number 15. Bible says here, love not the world, neither things are in the world. Now watch what the writer here says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And as I said, you got a lot of saved people today, and I'm not saying they're not saved. I don't know. You got a lot of God's children saying they're saved, and they love this world more than they love God. Where are they at on Sunday mornings? Down at the river, gone here and there instead of being in God's house. Why? They love the world more than they love God. And a lot of them are probably saved going to heaven. But the Bible says here, love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man, that's any man, the love of the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So there's a lot of saved people running down here today that love the world more than they do the Father. Or the things of God. And they're saved, a lot of them. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what? A lot of people, they need to get out of this worldly thing and start living for God and instead of letting the world control them. And the world will get into you if you ain't careful. It'll destroy us. It'll get into our lives and it'll control us instead of the Word of God. So the world is an enemy. Not only is the world an enemy, the world's an enemy, but also the flesh is an enemy. Well, I'm going to tell you what, this flesh is rotten. And you know, David's talked about this flesh too. But let me say this before I go on. Look at chapter 3 and verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And you know, I know people told me, so I don't like to rub people along. I kind of go along with some of the things they do in the world because I don't like to make them mad. You know why a lot of people hate God's children? Because they won't yoke up with the world. And they won't live for the world and do everything. They won't, shouldn't go the places the world goes to, do the things the world does, and all that crowd like it going to these places and doing. They don't like it. That's why they hate saved people. You probably had people tell you, you've talked to them, well, I hate God's children, or I hate saved people, or you know, I hate what they do, or I don't like what they do. Why? It says right here, that's why. Marvel not, my brethren, saved people, if the world hates you. So if you live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say we separate ourselves from the worldly things, and I want you to understand, I know you live in this world, but I'm talking about where it gets to where the world controls us. People ain't going to like you. So that's, all right, let's go on. Another thing, too, is, not only that, but the second thing is nasty flesh. And David's covered that, so I'm not going to hit on it long. Look at Romans chapter 8. The world and the flesh. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 17. Well, that's not the scripture I wanted. I don't know where I got it. But you know, Paul had a problem with the flesh too. And Paul said the things he did, he didn't want to do, and the things he didn't do, he did. You know what that is? That's just old nasty flesh in us. And whenever we need to read the Word of God, if we're not careful, the flesh will outrule us. The flesh will take on, well, you don't need to do it. You're tired. Or you got a lot to do today. If we're not careful, this old flesh will keep us out of the Bible. And Paul said the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. And the things he didn't do, he wound up doing. He said, in the flesh, there's no good thing that dwelleth in the flesh. Nothing. There ain't nothing good about this old nasty flesh. And I hate to say it, and you know it, but this flesh in me, that I walk around in, it is capable of doing anything now that it did before I got saved. It's as capable of doing anything that any body that's committing crimes could do. And only by God's grace, and my flesh is under control through the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't go out here and shoot somebody or get involved in something I ought not be in. It's the flesh. Paul said, in me, in the flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Nothing. So the flesh is an enemy. The flesh is one of our deadly enemies. And I won't say no more about it because David's covered it. And then the world, the flesh, and then the devil. And I'm going to move on. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm not covering a lot of these other things because David's pretty well went over them. I just want to hit on them to kind of bring us up to speed today. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm going to tell you what, the devil's our enemy. Now, you know, a lot of saved people like to kind of cuddle up to him and huddle up to him and kind of let him get in their lives and to go to listening to him. The devil's an enemy. He's so subtile, just like he was in the garden. The Bible said he was subtile in the form of serpent. And if we're not careful, the devil will get in our lives, and he'll have us out of this book. He'll have us out of church. He'll have us not doing nothing for the Lord. And the first thing you know, You begin to wonder sometimes, well, am I really saved? We got to be very careful about the devil because he's sly. But I want you to notice what the Bible says here. Be sober. Be vigilant. That word vigilant means to be alert. Look around. Keep our surroundings. Look around. Be vigilant. Be sober. Because your adversary, he's our enemy. I don't want to cuddle up to him. I don't want to pal up with him. I don't have nothing to do with him. He's my adversary, my enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, it's sad, but a lot of saved people and used to live for the Lord. They used to go to church. They used to pray. They used to witness. They used to do everything for the Lord that they could. Now they're on the garbage heap somewhere. Why? They piled around with the devil's crowd. Piled around with the devil. And the devil would drag us down just as fast as he can. And he's relentless. You know, we need to be watching. We need to be looking. He's everywhere. He's our adversary. We don't see him, but he's around. And if we're not careful, it don't take but one thing to drag us down spiritually. And he's always there to make sure that happens. We got to watch it. So the world, the flesh, and the devil, those are our enemies. Now, as we looked over to the scripture over in Ephesians, let's go back over to Ephesians. I'm going to hit a couple other things here. Scripture in Ephesians chapter, I want you to notice verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yeah. This right here, this is the sword. It's a two-edged sword. This right here, you know how we're going to fight the devil? With God's Word. We can't fight the devil with ourselves. We can't fight Satan by just what we do, what we think, or what we feel like. If we don't get in this book and stay in this book, we cannot fight the devil. We cannot fight the world, we cannot fight the flesh, and we definitely can't fight Satan. We can't do it. You know why so many people today that I say God's kids are saved and they don't know what to do. The flesh rules them, the devil rules them, the world rules them. Why? They don't get in the Word of God. Now, I know sometimes it's easier to say, well, I've had a tough day today, and it's been a long day, and it's late, and so I won't read today. You know why a lot of people today don't pick up the Word of God? Because they let one time derail them, and they didn't read it when they could have, and now they don't even pick it up no more. It's just like anything else. You go on a diet, or you make a plan to do something, and you do it faithfully. So I'm going to start walking, or I'm going to start doing this. And you do it for a while, and then you miss one time. If you ain't careful, you don't do it no more. So, you know, we look here. This is what we fight him with. Now, the Bible also said over in Ephesians chapter 6, prayer and supplications, you got to stay on your knees. We need to stay on our knees, and we need to stay in touch with God and stay in touch with Him on our knees and look to Him every day. There ought not be a day in our lives that we don't talk to the Lord. And I'm going to hit on the Bible today, the sword of Spirit, verse 17. There ought not be a day in our lives that we don't pray and talk to the Lord. Not one day. And there ought not be a day that we don't get in this book. Get out of this book for a while and see where you're headed. You quit reading God's Word and see what happens in your life. If you don't think the devil will weasel his way in there, you just try it. So, be vigilant. Be sober because your adversary of the devil roams about. Well, let me say this. You know, and again, there's a lot of people that can't fight these wars, that can't fight the devil, the flesh and the world. They don't get in this. You know what happens a lot of times? You hear people say, well, Sunday morning, time to go to church. Well, honey, have you seen my Bible? I don't know. I brought it home from church. I don't know what I did with it. You know why he don't know what he done with it? Because he ain't picked it up all week. That's why he don't know where it's at. He don't, well, it could be a lady. It could be the wife. He don't know no word where the word of God's at to nothing. He ain't picked it up all week. And how's he going to fight the devil and his crowd if he ain't even picked the Bible up and he ain't even read it? You know what a lot of people do? They get in the car after church and go home and they'll throw the Bible in the back seat. If there's, you know, throw it in the back seat. Or they'll put it in the front seat. They ain't seen it the rest of the week. If you don't read the Bible, you can't fight the devil. And this right here is our warfare against Satan, one of them. So we need to get in the Word of God and stay in the Word of God. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. These are very familiar scriptures we're going to hit on today. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. For the Word of God is quick. That word quick means it's alive. It means it's real. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder a soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is the discerner and the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's a whole lot I can say about that right there, but let's quickly look at it. The Word of God is quick and powerful. This book's alive. I'm going to tell you what, son, this book ain't dead like yesterday's newspaper. This book is alive. And not only is this book alive, but it's powerful. Not only can you learn how to fight the devil and the world and the flesh, getting in this book, and this book will give you power in your own life with God. Amen. People pick this thing up and throw it around, look at it. This is God's Word. These words come from the Holy God. Men pin them down, it's through inspiration of God. So this is God's Word. This book right here is powerful, son. You talking about you want to get something done in your life, you want to get something accomplished in your life, get in the Word of God. We cannot fight the devil apart from getting in this book. It's quick and powerful. Now think about this, and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you could go out here and buy you a sword and you could shave that thing down and make both sides of that sword just razor sharp, split a hair, it wouldn't compare to this book right here. This book is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You know what that'll do? You get in this book, and every time you get in the Bible, you can stick that sword in the devil and it gets him both ways, going in and coming out. He's going to get away from you sooner or later. He's going to get tired of getting stuck with the Word of God because he hates God's Word. This book right here keeps the devil messing with you. It goes on to say, piercing even to dividing asunder of the spirit, the soul, and the spirit. Now, boy, that's saying something. The soul, our inner being, and the spirit that lives inside of us. And the joints and marrow, it's the discerner and the thoughts and intents of the heart. That book right there tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Now, whether we listen or not is another story. I'm going to tell you what. We cannot fight the world, the devil, and Satan, and the flesh if we don't get in this book. That's why it says over there the whole sword of the Spirit in Ephesians. We need to get in this book and stay in the book. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Two things I want to look at there quickly. Being born again. How are you born again? You're born again through the Word of God. That's the Bible right here tell you how to be born again. This blessed Word of God. You don't get born again by going out here and paying tithes. You don't get born again by coming into church every Sunday and get you a pen that hangs down to here if you're faithful. That don't get you born again. You must be born again. The only way you can do it is through the Word of God. So we need being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. How do I know I'm born again? Because my Bible tells me I am. Because I did what Jesus Christ said to do in this book, and I know. And this book don't lie. Now, some man has said, let me hit on this. I've heard people say, when I first started going on visitation, well, now, I don't know much now, but I didn't know anything then. And I've heard some of them, they don't go to this church no more, and I hear them say, well, now, if you'll pray a prayer, you're saved. And they'd pray a little prayer, and they say, well, now, you're saved now, and you're going to heaven. And I thought, that don't sound right. I didn't know. I didn't question them. Man, they were spiritual giants to me. I hadn't been saved long. Don't know much now. Didn't know nothing then. But I'm going to tell you something, son. There's a lot of people that pray the prayer and ain't saved. And they're trusting that. The only thing you can trust is this book, and it says you must be born again. And it's sad. So, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which what? Abideth. This right here is going to be with us forever, folks. This is going to go with us to heaven. Not this particular book, but the Word of God, it's going to be in heaven. It abides with us forever. What does that mean? Till we get 74? Some of us have done be gone, wouldn't it? Not mentioning no names. But, hey, man, which liveth and abideth forever. The words of this book is in our hearts all the time. But we got to get in and read it. If we don't read it, it ain't doing us no good. If our Bible lays on the dresser 2 or 3 days or a week and we don't read, it ain't helping us none. We can't fight the devil. So we find here being born again the Word of God, which abideth forever. This book's alive. All right, not only that, but let's go to 2 Timothy. These are very familiar scriptures. 2 Timothy, look at chapter 2. Now, I want you to watch this. Now, what we've been talking about this morning, the Word of God, and how to fight the devil, the world, and the flesh. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let's break this thing down real quick and look at it. We read scriptures, I say we because I'm guilty. That says study. You know what we do a lot of times? And we'll pick the Bible up maybe once every couple of days or look at it and we'll go read through a few scriptures of it so we can soothe our conscience. Or maybe thinking we're sufficing God. That ain't what my Bible says. My Bible says to study. Now you can get in this, and I've heard it said, and you have too, and it's true. You can get in the Word of God and read 4 chapters, and it's like pouring water on a duck's back. Or you can get in there and read 2 verses, and God show you something that'll change your life and keep you on the right track, and it's worth more than, well, I read 3 chapters today. Well, whoopee-doo. Did it get in our hearts? If it didn't get in our hearts, son, we didn't get it. Amen. That's what the Bible says here, study. Well, I ain't got time to study the Bible. We need to make time. If we want to fight the devil, we better study this book so we'll know what we're doing. And we can't listen to what man says. And we can't go with what somebody else says or does. Son, we need to get in the Word of God so we'll know what's going on. Study to show thyself approved. Unto who? God. My Bible don't say, study to show thyself approved to my wife. Study show thyself approved our pastor. I love my pastor. He didn't say, study show thyself approved to the world. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. How are we going to fight the devil? If we don't get in this book, we ain't going to fight him because We need to be approved of God. Ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's right. That's right. That's why you need to study, and because people don't study, they don't come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, you can get in the book and read two or three chapters, but if it don't get in our hearts, it's not where it needs to be. Study shows thy proofs unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to get in this blessed book and study it. If for no other reason, be able to fight the devil, be able to fight the world, and to fight the flesh. Look at chapter 3 and verse 15 of 2 Timothy. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Now let's look at that. How much Scripture? All. People say, well, I don't understand Revelation. I don't get out of Revelation. Get in a book you do understand. All Scripture. He says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. And brother, when the Holy Spirit gives us something and it gets in our hearts, we can fight the devil. That's why he said all Scripture. Now, I know we've all got favorite Scriptures. I do too. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He didn't have to give us this book. He didn't have to give us His Word that we've got in front of us and we can have all the time. He didn't have to do that, but He did. Wow, I read the Bible, don't I? Well, he goes on to say, and it's profitable. Not only is it fighting the devil, but this book is profitable. For what? Reproof. You know what that'll do? We get in the Word of God, not only to help fight the devil, but it'll reprove us for what we don't do right and what we do is wrong. That book will reprove you. This book will put you where you need to be. It's for correction. We do things wrong, this book will correct us. We get ourselves in a mess somewhere, don't do something we ought to do, or do something we shouldn't do, this book will correct us. Get in here. God will show you what you've done. He'll show me what I've done. And it don't take long either. The Holy Spirit knows where it's at. So it's for correction and instruction in righteousness. The Word of God will instruct us in righteousness and all these things, but we've got to get into the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to have to hurry. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. And I want you to watch this. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You got people today, and I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest. You got people today that's been saved for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years, and they're still sucking a bottle. Oh, my bottle. They don't get no meat out of this book. Why? They don't read it. I guarantee you there's people got Bibles, 2 and 3 and 4 of them laying around their house, and I bet there's some of them ain't picked them up in 6 months. They're still babies. Not only does this fight the devil, but we can't grow in the Lord if we don't get some meat. We can't live on milk all the time. And I don't have time to... Well, yeah, I am going to do it too. Look at, hold your place there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Good night. Well, I ain't going to have time to do... Anyway, Paul's dealing with Christians that's babies stealing milk. He said he couldn't feed them food because they're still on milk. They're still babies. So, the Word of God... Not only that, but, I don't know, I hate to skip all this. Anyway, we need to get in the Word of God, and so we can get off the milk and get into the meat of this thing so we know what's going on. We know how to fight the devil. Yeah. All right. Not only that, but then we find Psalms 119. Go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. This book will guide us and show us how and what we can do. Psalms 119, look at verse 133. It'll guide us. David said, "Order my steps in the word, and let not iniquity do have dominion over me." He said, "Order my steps." This book will guide us if we'll get in it. He'll show us what we need to do. But I want you to see this. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 4. All we've looked at today, I want to summarize it up and end it with this. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had been tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward and hungry. He's being tempted by the devil, Satan himself. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Now, I want you to watch what the Lord Jesus Christ said. But he answered and said, "It is written." He could have took the devil and smote him. He could have wiped him off. He could have done anything he wanted to do to Satan. He got the power. He had the might. He could have done it. But you know what he said? "It is written." That's what we got to do to fight the devil, is read what's written in here. I'm saying we. I'm talking about me. "It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Go on. Verse 5. "And then the devil takes him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Now see, that's not in red. The devil even, the devil knows the Bible probably better than a lot of saved people. The devil said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written." Jesus said, the devil even knows that. He said, "Well, it's written. He shall give his angels charge over thee concerning their hands. They shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, there he said again, "It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, "All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." You know what the devil tells people today? "Well, I'll give you that if you'll just listen to me. I'll give you that, and that can be yours if you'll just do what I tell you to do." We got to get in this book. In verse 10, "Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." 3 times in those 7 verses, he said, "It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It is written. The Word of God. Now, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I had to hurry with some of this. But, yeah, John chapter 5. Yeah, look at verse number 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, "Search the Scriptures." You know how to fight the devil, the world, and the flesh? The Word of God. This blessed book. And if we don't read it, and we don't study it, we ain't going to be able to fight him. Well, he don't bother me too much. And I've heard people say, if he don't bother him, something wrong. If something's wrong, if the devil don't bother you, boy, I must be a scoundrel. That joker's on me all the time. He don't let up. "It is written," what Jesus said, "and every word proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father," out of the mouth of God. You know how to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil? The Word of God. We can't do it ourselves. That's why it's important that we need to get in that book every day. Not only read it, but we need to study it. As Timothy said, not only show ourselves approved as a workman of God, that we know how to rightly divide the Word of God, and we need to get in it to be able to know how to fight the devil. Because I ain't no match for him. So, I hope that will be a blessing to you. Let's go back over to Ephesians. I'll wind it up with that.